State Farm Mutual and others, Willis P. Hopkins, and Town Council, John Peter Catano, Christopher Lee, and Ashley Lee Council.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Bill Hopkins, and I'm from Roanoke, Virginia. I represent Joseph Corvey through his mother and next friend, Tracy Ballard. This is an insurance coverage case. Joseph is seeking UIM coverage through a policy issued to his parents by State Farm. The precise issue presented to this court on this appeal is whether the injuries to Joseph occurred on the school bus as a school bus. The facts are straightforward. In fact, they were stipulated to by State Farm and Corvey in the trial court for purposes of the coverage issue. Joseph was 10 at the time of these events. He's autistic. He cannot talk. He catches a school bus in Lynchburg to go to Bedford. It's a Bedford County school bus. The school bus is equipped with special needs harnesses. He has a classmate that rode the bus with him, Timothy Kilpatrick. Joseph is strapped into the bus. When he gets on the bus with the special needs harness, and across the aisle from him is his classmate, Timothy, who's also strapped in with the special needs buses. The defendants in the case, in the underlying case, are the bus driver and the school bus aide. Ms. Holland is the bus driver. Ms. Evans is the school bus aide. During a couple of trips on this bus, the aide and the driver struck Timothy with a hand, with fly swatter, kicked Timothy, pushed his head up against the bus, sprayed him with a chemical, among other things. They also struck Joseph on more than one occasion, and all these events are captured on camera.
So they have a remedy in tort. They even have a possible prosecution criminally. But how does a criminal assault on a bus relate to you and UIM? If it's, I mean, the whole argument appears to me to be, well, it happened on a bus, which means that there is nothing left to the causal relationship test that has been watered down over the years.
Well, I think the safety harnesses are critical to that part. And there was an analogy that we used in the brief. It's at pages 11 and 12. You have two men, one beating up a third. One man holds the victim, the other man strikes him. The man holding the victim is akin to the safety harnesses. Even the trial judge admitted that without the safety harnesses, these assaults would have been more difficult to accomplish. I would submit to you that what's important is that the safety harnesses were used as part of the torts. And as part of the bus, that gives you the causal connection, I would submit to you, between the use of the bus, the vehicle, and the use of the buses for Joseph's injuries. Even the trial judge, as I mentioned, admitted that it made the assaults easier. But what's important is that's the way the assaults occurred, their use of the safety harnesses.
Well, the bus itself made it easier. The kids weren't on a bus with walls around them. I mean, the argument proves too much, and that's exactly what the trial judge said. He said, okay, so the harnesses are on, so they're sitting in a seat. So there's an enclosed space where the criminal assaulters are there having access to them. I mean, At some point, the causal chain becomes so attenuated, it seems to me that all we're really talking about is getting to a deep pocket. Why is my sentiment wrong?
Well, the causal, I would submit to you that the causal chain in this case is far closer than other cases where you have found a causal connection and coverage. The cases that have vexed the trial courts in this Commonwealth, and to some extent this court, involve cases in which the plaintiff isn't the driver of the subject vehicle, isn't a passenger of the subject vehicle, doesn't even touch the subject vehicle.
But what's your best authority in our state for a criminal assault occurring in a vehicle and triggering UMUIM?
Well, it doesn't matter whether the torts involved are criminal or not. It's clear by the case law, and I believe it's Fireman's Fund versus Slay, and even the federal court case, John Doe, that's cited by State Farm, is that the intent of the defendants is not a factor in coverage. So if they intended to commit the crime, the tort that they did, and if the tort that they committed happens to be a crime, it doesn't matter. That doesn't affect coverage.
It doesn't affect coverage in that vehicles are not designed and there's no purpose for the vehicles to be used as a cage match to beat children in. I mean, the idea is you're using a vehicle as a vehicle, and you need UMUIM to cover accidents. But this is a criminal assault, an intentional tort, however you want to say it, having really nothing to do with the vehicle except for it happened there.
It has, well, certainly the safety harnesses had a lot to do with the assaults, and they're part of the vehicle. And as you well know, that the transportation aspect of the case is not, the use is not limited to the transportation of the case.
So the assaults would not have occurred if they had been in some different safety belt?
Much more difficult in the case of forcing young Joseph to watch what happens to Timothy? Probably not. But the important part is they did happen that way. And that's the hand that State Farm has been dealt.
I think you said just a few minutes ago that the reason why the restraints provided a nexus to coverage was because it made it easier to commit the assault. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, sir.
Well, in the case you just cited, which was Doe versus State Farm, there was a sexual assault, and the perpetrator forced the woman into his car, then drove the car to an isolated place and committed the assault in the car. Now, if the nexus that you have alleged in this case is it made it easier to commit the offense, why wouldn't the Doe case be an example of an analogous situation and coverage was denied in that case?
Well, first off, the Doe case was probably decided incorrectly. It's a federal case. The abduction claim in
Well, one Doe, of them was, that's for sure.
Sir?
One of them was. So which one was it?
Which one was?
Was it the case that you have on appeal, or the Doe case?
Well, he would say both.
I would say both, Your Honor. But the Doe, I'll explain to you why the Doe case, I think, was decided incorrectly. Part of the claim that the plaintiff had in the Doe case was abduction. That, at least that part of the claim, where she was, and the abduction occurred by picking her up as a passenger and taking her from point A to point B. You can have an abduction without use of a vehicle, but it would be very difficult. That part of the claim.
But removing the victim to an isolated place where the attack could occur, wouldn't that be easier to do because it's now being in an isolated place and you use the car to get there? Which is the same analogous thing that you just said with the straps, the unusual way in which the children were restrained, made it easier to commit the offense and the acts. So did the car in this case make it easier, if we follow that logic, because they've driven the victim into an isolated area, making it easier to commit the acts. Why, if that's the case, Doe versus State Farm says it doesn't apply. There's no coverage.
The abduction claim of Doe there should have been coverage. I would submit there should have been coverage for the abduction. And the abduction of the plaintiff, the victim, she was a passenger in the vehicle from point A to point B. Now, Judge Ellis, I believe it was Judge Ellis in the federal case, he thread the needle on that part of the claim by saying, yes, but what she's claiming for abduction, really aren't the injuries that she's seeking recovery for. The injuries she's seeking for recovery for is when the car is parked, where the sexual assault and the beatings occur in a parked car.
Well, that's just it. In this case, there's no injuries caused by the straps. It's the injuries caused by the criminal assault.
Well, the straps play the integral part, though.
Well, so did the car
injuries.
And Doe.
What's that?
So did the car and Doe.
And Doe was decided incorrectly. The abduction claim in Doe, there should have been coverage for the abduction claim in Doe. Now, he threaded the needle by saying the injuries occurred not through the because of the abduction, but once the car hits the site, the sexual assault, the batteries, then the car becomes nothing more than a motel room or what have you.
But don't you see what Judge Ellis is saying and what some of the questions you're hearing today might be saying? Which is, you know, you can always conjure up some wild causal connection under some Adam and Eve but-for causation standard. But there's got to be something more. If you were to go to the average person and say, was this an accident that arose out of use of a vehicle? The average person would say, what? This is a criminal assault by two people on two defenseless children. I don't think it has anything to do with an accident for the use of a vehicle. And I wonder if our rhetoric, our legal rhetoric, is going so far to attenuated causation that just about anything that happens in or around a vehicle is enough to trigger the deep pocket of UN.
Well, this is in and around a vehicle. The cases that have vexed this court and have vexed the trial courts are cases where the plaintiff doesn't even touch the vehicle, isn't a passenger, isn't a driver. The plaintiff in this case was a passenger during all times of the assaults. Joseph was a voluntary passenger in the bus. He suffered the injuries while he was a passenger. State Farm knew that the bus was a vehicle that could be insured. I think under the language of the policy, any vehicle, any motor vehicle would qualify. Anybody that's also, it was contemplated by the parties that there'd be contact between the school bus aide and the school bus driver, not only contemplated, but really required. Anybody that's ever ridden on a bus from private school or public school knows that stuff happens. All of these points, I think, come together to counsel that this would have been contemplated by the parties as part of the coverage. I would submit that this case, with the plaintiff as a passenger, is a far better case, clearer case, than the cases this court has held where plaintiff doesn't touch it, the vehicle, isn't necessarily next to the vehicle. Those are the cases that have vexed this court.
Obviously a hypothetical. If the children were in harnesses and somebody outside the bus threw a rock and it struck one of the children in a harness, would you be here on that case as well?
If someone outside the vehicle threw a rock?
Through the window.
That's a tougher case, Your Honor. It's a tougher case because in this case, we had the school bus aide and a school bus driver where the parties understand and contemplate that there's going to be contact between those parties and the students.
So if I'm an auto insurance liability underwriter, I think the takeaway from that would be, okay, anything bad that happens, rapes, beatdowns, projectiles shot at the vehicle, I just got to cover everything if it happened in a vehicle. Because for you and me, I am. Isn't that really the conclusion of your paradigm for liability?
No, sir, because the safety harnesses is what takes this case out of that scenario. The safety harnesses were an integral part of the bus. they were an integral part of those torts. That's the way the torts occurred. Without the man holding the other man, you don't have the same beating.
Counsel, how would the safety harness differ from the doors being locked or the doors being closed and not locked? How does the safety harness differ from anything that would serve to keep the children inside the bus?
Well, the safety harnesses are more confining, obviously, than the doors, and are part of the transportation of the plaintiff. The Doe case involved getting to a place and then the assaults occurring. But if you're the, I'll finish up. If you're the, if you are the passenger,
as long as the question is pending, go ahead and answer.
Yes, sir. If you're the passenger of a vehicle, and these occur during the ride from point A to point B, I would submit to the court that that provides the connection.
So your argument, if the safety harness was not there and the doors were just locked, you would not be here?
Tougher case. Tougher case.
What about if it was just a regular seat belt instead of a safety harness?
Well,
kept the children in place.
A seatbelt is not as confining as these safety harnesses. These children have no ability really to get out from under the safety harnesses. That's why they were there.
Right, but I imagine there are some children that couldn't get out of a seatbelt either.
There probably would be coverage under those scenarios, Your Honor. Thank you for hearing.
Thank you very much.
May it please the court, good morning. My name is John Catano, representing the Appellee State Farm. I'm not sure I should say a word, perhaps just sit down with these questions, but I think what counsel for Corvo is trying to do is to convince the court to make an exception or perhaps an extension or perhaps just disregard the Jane Doe versus State Farm Federal District Court case with Judge Ellis. And as y'all are familiar with, what Judge Ellis said about the automobile, and we know the premise from which we start, is that in order for there to be a recovery in the UM-UIM situation, the vehicle must be used as a vehicle. And the injury has to have arisen from the vehicle being used as a vehicle. And Judge Ellis said in that, really, all these cases are unfortunate. They're horrible cases. But in the Jane Doe case, Judge Ellis, Federal District Court, was saying that the vehicle in that case was merely the forum or the location or the venue where these horrible sexual assaults occurred, happened to be in a vehicle. Could have happened in an elevator, a phone booth, a basement, an apartment, but just because it so happened to have occurred in a vehicle does not give rise to the coverage that, in this case, the appellant is seeking. And what I understood from the briefs, more so than perhaps the argument, was that counsel for Corvo was trying to draw an analogy between this court's ruling in State Farm versus Rice, which he didn't mention. It's mentioned a lot in the briefs, but this morning, and that's a hunting case. And you are, this court extended an initial ruling from State Farm versus Powell, which was a rifle case, where just a rifle inadvertently went off, and this court found that there was no coverage. Killed someone standing right next to a truck who just happened to be there. They were socially gathering, and a rifle discharged without anyone doing it. Just no one even knows why. But it was inside a truck on a gun rack, and it discharged and killed Powell. And this court said there was no UM-UIM coverage in that case for the reasons stated. However, in the State Farm versus Rice case, this court ruled after the Powell case that in the Rice case, a Jeep was used. Two guys were going hunting in Amherst County, and they loaded up to go hunting that morning with guns, ammo, camo, coffee. Everything had to do with, this court used the word, I think, an expedition, a hunting expedition. It was an excursion. It was a reason for their being that morning in the Jeep was to go hunting. And the passenger got out and was walking away not far from the Jeep, and the driver was retrieving his rifle that he had laid on the front seat of the Jeep, and when he picked it up, it went off, and, you know, things happen. I can't imagine how it could happen, but he killed the guy who was walking, his buddy, who was walking away. And this court did find coverage in that case because, in large part, I believe, that the instrument in that case which caused the injury was the rifle, which was an implement of the hunting excursion. And that's the counsel is trying to draw an analogy by raising this safety harness issue because the safety harnesses in the special needs school bus in our case were part of what he would like to say a specific purpose of the special needs bus, just like the specific purpose of the hunting excursion or expedition in Rice. And my argument on the it's already been made in the regarding the safety harness issue in this case is that it was not the implement at all of the injury for which they're seeking recovery. It didn't cause any injury. The implement of the injuries in this case were these two, you know, the bus driver and the bus's aide. They had fly swatters ever beaten someone. They spray cans, I don't know what it was. Could have been insect repellent or I don't know what it was. They had a spray can in there and they were elbowing this poor kid and slapping him and horrible stuff, but the safety harnesses were not the implements of any of the injuries. There was no safety harness burn. There was no safety harness rash. There was nothing to do with it. And the trial court, Judge Burnett, as it's in the appendix, said, it's interesting, but had nothing
to do with it.
And
also you don't have the mobility factor in the same way that you had in Rice, where everything was loaded into the Jeep, and the Jeep was then driven to the location of the hunt. That seemed to inform the court's thinking in a way that here just didn't happen.
Yes.
I mean, it just seems like another ground of distinction with Rice specifically.
Yes. Yeah, I think there's a lot of grounds of distinctions, and I think counsel would like the court to just draw these analogies that I just don't think fit. And
I find the Rice case to be very attenuated myself. If you're all talking about which one was decided incorrectly, in my book it was Rice.
Okay.
And you change the facts slightly. People are going to bowling in the bowling league, and they bring a bowling ball in a VW Beetle, and it rolls and crushes somebody's foot or breaks a toe. Is that coverable under UIM?
Well, I would argue, since you mentioned that Rice could have been decided incorrectly, I would agree with you that it probably, you know, that was quite a leap from Powell to Rice.
I realize that what you're trying to do is to distinguish it, and that's what you have to do, and you're doing a good job of it. But maybe the entire concept of the case is wrong. That was a very friendly question, but that's all right. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, certainly I would be here in the bowling ball case arguing probably similar things that, you know, I guess that, like counsel said of Jane Doe versus State Farm, the Rice State Farm versus Rice case maybe was decided incorrectly, but I'm certainly not going to say you're the one who brought that up. I wouldn't want to say that in front of this court. I'm just trying to distinguish it respectfully.
Well, I know that what you're trying to do is distinguish it, and that's what your job is. So I'm not going to criticize your unwillingness to attack the underlying concepts. That's quite right. You can just distinguish it.
All right. In any event, that's really all I have. Without just repeating myself again, I think Judge Ellis's opinion. I just can't see how this case, if there's any legitimacy to Jane Doe versus State Farm, the Federal District Court, Judge Ellis, was, as far as I could read, a really thorough, well-reasoned, lengthy, instructive decision. I mean, he went into cases and did a really, I thought, solid job of just laying this out without question that in that case, in the most unfortunate of facts you could imagine, sorry, Jane Doe, the car was only the location, the venue, the forum, in which this thing happened. It wasn't, being used as a... Thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
Call the next case.